welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian, and thank you for listening.
No, when you say that at the end.
Oh, okay.
You're going to, all of our listeners are going to be like, okay, cool, we're done, moving on. But no, we're back. It's exciting. I'm actually in a great mood today. It was peeing down with rain today.
Yeah, I know. I'm wet. I am super.
From the rain in this case.
Damp, yes.
Yeah.
All over. I'm going to get pee pneumonia. And although I do have a very strong smell of my shampoo currently.
That's true.
It's yeah. I don't know why. I'm pretty sure
it's
I washed it out.
It's essences, because you're worth it.
Well, it's, I don't know. It's whatever does not smell like flowers or like.
Oh, well, that's not herbal
essences. Or like, what, you know that stuff when it's always like the quote unquote masculine smells, and it always a name that's nothing like the thing that it names. Like, you know, like ocean breeze. And I've been to the ocean and it smells like dead fish.
It smells salty, dead fish and seagulls.
I do not. Want that, or it has yeah. like, you know, spring mist, and spring mist smells like all the things that were under the snow in the winter rotting, mm-hmm. and I don't want to smell like that either. Or like, even if you go into like a really like ferny, like a bushy forest with like, you know, ferns and grasses and
yeah.
fresh trees and everything smells really green, I don't want to smell like that green, sappy, ferny smell either. Like, none of those are pleasant smells. And even then, like...
You clearly have strong opinions on
I have
topic.
Very strong opinions. And even then, like, the thing that it describes smells like something completely different. So, like, the ocean breeze, like, I don't know what I would call that. I would just call that, like, blue fresh smell. Yeah. Like, if blue had an odor, it would smell like that.
Oh, no. Because when I think if blue has an odor, I'm thinking, like, any candy that is blue-colored... You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, it's like a what? Sickly blueberry flavor, like blue-flavored, like blue-flavored push pops. You know, those frozen lollies that you, I don't know if you got them in this country.
On a vaguely related note, I discovered something today. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you brush your teeth before or after eating certain foods, the chemicals in the toothpaste react to what you're eating and make weird flavors. Like, famously, you simply cannot have orange juice and then brush your teeth within a half an hour.
Yeah, pro-life tip here to hear it first.
Today I discovered that if you brush your teeth after eating a banana, it tastes like cream soda.
Why would you eat a banana?
Because it's potassium, it's good for you. No, high in fiber, it's an easy snack.
Bananas are the worst.
Bananas, I will have you know, are a staple food for a large portion of the world. In the Caribbean, they have like bananas. Well, no, it depends on where you are in the Caribbean. But like, you know, you have like banana porridge for breakfast and you put green banana in your pepper pot. And then you have like fried plantains as a snack. Like, it's just bananas all day. Bananas all day. But I mean, like here we have wheat all day.
It's like a Gwen Stefani song.
Well, I mean, yeah. Bananas for snack, for Absolutely. Breakfast.
Well, let's move on to our actual topics today. Russell, I've got paper, I've got notes. All right, let's get on with it. So, Amsterdam, what do you think?
I was disappointed when I found out what the name means.
What does it mean?
Well, the Amstel River goes through Amsterdam.
Oh my God, it's literally a dam on the Amstel River?
Yeah, that's what the name means.
Oh, that's really depressing.
Yeah, and then Oxford, it's because it's where the river is really shallow.
It's a ford where the ox cross?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of places out there that are old and then you find out. And then Paris is just the name of a Greek hero.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not as exciting.
And then London is Londinium? And I can't remember what that means, but it's actually originally a Roman name for there's some other name, and then Queen Boadicea, and then you've got the Boadicea layer of like black ash. But anyway, yeah, Amsterdam. I've been there.
That reminds me of
the very big hill,
which I think I've got wrong there. But I'm like, me, did I get that right? It's a place name in Wales. And it actually means the fair church by the three valleys next to the raising stream, next to the street, and take a left on the M4 and carry on, and it's third star to the right, straight on till midnight. And it's like it's like driving instructions, essentially.
Well, the second name for, I think it's North Bay, was Saint Marguerite parmi les pins, which is Saint Margaret from among the pine trees. Is a pretty name.
Yeah, why was she in pine trees?
Well, have you been in the area? There's nothing but pine trees. There's pine trees and beaver dams and rocks. and mosquitoes. Like,
that's, do you know what my favorite
end of list?
Well, that's so off topic.
If you've ever been to Northern Ontario, I just described the entire region.
So my favorite saint, and it was on an episode of QI, was a guy who got sainted because he was able to read in his own head.
Yes, without moving his lips or speaking out loud.
And people thought it was a magic trick that this man was blessed by God to be able to read without reading out loud. Anyway, back on topic. Yeah. Amsterdam.
Yes.
Why am I bringing this up? And it is relevant. There is a Canadian connection here, which I want to get to in just a few moments.
Oh, there's many Canadian connections between the Netherlands and Canada. Absolutely.
Well, the Dutch are fantastic.
Well, you know why they're fantastic? Because of Canada.
Well, because we save them, we give them. There's a tiny patch of the Netherlands.
No. See, I know this because my stepfather is from a small town in southern Ontario that it's like all Dutch and mostly Friesian, but a lot of Dutch. And then when I actually went to visit friends in the Netherlands, they thanked me. They're like, Canada is a liberal, not Canada. The Netherlands is a progressive liberal country because of Canada. And I said, because of World War II? And they said, no, because we kicked out all the conservatives and sent them to Canada. So, like, the Netherlands went from being, because they were a really stodgy country until, like, about the 1850s. And then all of a sudden they become, like, the hippies of Europe. And it's because they took...
We are talking 1850s.
Yeah, they took, like, all the conservatives, stuck them on a boat, and shoved them off to Canada. And that's the small town where my stepfather's from. I'm not going to name it, but if you're from southern Ontario, you know where the peaches grow.
I mean, let's be honest here. 1850s Netherlands conservative and 2019 Southern Ontario conservatives are not the same.
No, they're not the same.
I think, isn't it? I think politically, in terms of the spectrum in the UK, the before the Labour movement, there was the Whigs and the Tories. And the Tories.
Yeah.
And they tended to flip side. Like, they weren't always on the sides that you would think they are on.
Yep.
The politics is not a stable
force. Yeah. I mean, it was basically just Protestantism. Mm. That sort of hard work, how dare you smile, kind of like old-fashioned Protestantism that modern Protestantism is trying to get away from. Mm-hmm. Like that.
Thou shalt not have fun.
Thou shalt not, you know, have a five-minute break. Like, that's the kind of conservatism I'm talking about.
And that's from 1850s.
Yeah, and then there's also other things that relate Canada and the Netherlands, like the tulip thing, and then, like,
that's not what I'm talking about right now.
Yeah,
what I want to talk about is Amsterdam had their Pride recently,
right,
which is great. If you ever are in Europe in the summer, try and get to Amsterdam. I wonder if that's where Eurovision's going to be, because it's around the same time. No, they're in May, aren't they? Oh, dang.
I hope they do it in The Hague. I like The Hague.
In The Hague?
Yeah.
It's probably Amsterdam, though.
The Hague's really nice.
Anyway, the Netherlands won the Eurovision Song Contest, so the giant contest will be taking place somewhere in the Netherlands.
It's probably like in Gouda or something.
Yeah.
Like out in the countryside. It smells like cows. The moment you leave the big city, everywhere smells like cow. The entire country smells like cow. People warned me and I thought they were kidding, but the Netherlands smells like cow everywhere.
The more you know.
Yeah.
This week's show is brought to you by TripAdvisor. This week's show is brought to you by cows. We don't get any money.
Exclamation point. Cows.
From cows or TripAdvisor.
We're going to get through this story, I swear.
Although, cows, if you're listening, you can sponsor us. And I'm just kidding. All right. Amsterdam Pride. Why is this important? Why am I mentioning it eventually when we get to it?
Yeah.
I am mentioning it because they have only 60 floats.
Yes.
Now, this is kind of relevant because they take the canals.
Yeah.
It's amazing to watch.
So the floats are actually floating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see them and you don't get stuck on one side of the road, which drives me up the wall with Toronto, because you're like, I need to pee and the only public washroom is there in front of me. But I have about 9 hours worth of parading to get through.
But you can't dance too much on an Amsterdam float. Otherwise, you'll capsize
you fall
it.
Off.
You'll capsize it, yeah. So you have to, like, balance it out and have, like, front, back, left, right, and have equal people in each quadrant so that they're dancing on an even keel.
Yeah.
Like, a literal even keel.
And you can't drink and pride, because that also, you might fall in.
I trust the Dutch to drink and not fall in the canal. I think that's a moment of pride.
I was talking about tourists.
No.
I wonder, I'm sure there's stats on it, how many tourists fall in the canals.
And how, like, the Dutch never do. Unless they're having, like, a heart attack right next to it. They're good at not falling at the canal.
just phenomenal. Anyway, yeah. back on yeah. track. Back so on they track. They have the little barges
right.
that shuffle along in the canals. That was there in 2012, I think. Yeah, well, 13 maybe.
Yeah, around there. Because yeah. I remember when you went.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was about 5 years ago.
About 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's great, but you have these barges, you have the canals. The canals are only also big. The canals are only also long.
Mm.
And unlike Toronto, which goes on for about 3 weeks, the parade, only a slight exaggeration, they have a limit, and they have a limit on the number of floats, and they're yeah. like 60. That's it. That's
total.
More than enough floats for you to shake a stick at.
Everyone else has to swim.
Everyone else.
Or take a paddy boat.
Has to swim, yeah.
The tiki little paddy boat going yeah. along.
All those swans.
Yeah.
They are like maybe the least effective mode of travel. Like, you know, actually in Canada's Wonderland in Toronto, they have those swans, but they're on a track.
Under the water, yeah.
Oh, that's so disappointing. Because yeah. I feel like a part of the luxury of the swan is that maybe you could very, very slowly collide with another swan.
That used to be the Smurf Kingdom, the part where they have the swans, and then they converted it, yeah. But anyway, go on. So 60 floats.
Yes.
And what is relevant about exactly one of them?
The Canadian connection here is they've made a decision a while ago
yeah.
that all of the politicians, there will be a float for the politicians.
Yes. And you to be clear,
one float.
Because we had an exchange that was kind of a comedy routine. I was like, one apiece. And you're like, no, one total. One total apiece. And you're like, no, one total.
You're like, one for the Liberals. I'm like, no.
All politicians on Everyone one float. At different parties. If you don't get along with the people in the other party, you're free to not be on that float.
Or to sit on the other side of it. Like, you know.
Put up a little curtain.
Little rainbow balloons between you. Oh my God. Little glitter barrier.
But you got to make sure you do it with an even keel. Otherwise, it'll capsize.
Yeah, it'll capsize. Absolutely. And I like the idea. I think that it is. Prides, the big city prides are growing, which is great.
Yeah.
But there needs to be a limit. And what we find is community participants, groups of people, employee resource groups,
yeah.
Social groups,
so, clubs, sports teams, yeah.
LGBT serving organizations, they are competing for space.
Against like TD and Second Cup and...
Yeah, in a market that's being dominated by big companies yeah. who send all of their staff.
And it's a little bit cynical. I mean, like, you know, back in 2000 when it was a big deal because nobody was doing it, it was brave and interesting. But now it is optics, and it's good for business, and it's bad for business to not be there. And prides across Canada, well, across the world, but Canada's pretty vocal about this.
Well, about 1 in 10 prides in the whole world are in Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
No, oh, wow.
It's ridiculous.
This is a super gay country.
There's like 110 or 115 of them now, last I checked. And there's only about 1,000 in the world.
Do you know what the other... some time ago, there's a stereotype in Northern Europe, like among Scandinavians, that all Canadians are hairy. That we're like the hairiest country in the world. So we're just a bunch of... hairy gay people in the cold north.
Like marching.
Wearing flannel.
Short distances yeah. to the local park to have a picnic.
Drinking watery
with a
beer.
Sad drag queen whose makeup yeah. is melting. Yeah. I like it. That's actually, I've described most pride parades.
Maple flavored everything. Yeah.
Maple everything, absolutely. And our only other substance is puts in.
Is puts in and maple flavored everything.
I yeah. like it. Canadiana. Yeah.
Although locals, there's also the local things like in Ontario, people get into actual fist fights arguing whose grandmother makes the best butter tarts. And then you've got like the whole...
In Nanaimo, they get into fist fights over who can make the best Nanaimo bar.
Well, I would imagine it's whose aunt and not whose grandmother makes the best Nanaimo bars.
We're off topic again. So
that's fine.
Why is this relevant? Because in Vancouver,
yeah.
finally getting back to Canada here...
Yeah.
Justin Trudeau had a bit of a dig at Andrew Scheer, the leader of the Federal Conservative Party, mm-hmm. For not marching in Pride. Now, I'll be frankly honest with you, folks. The Conservative Party had indicated that they didn't plan on participating
yeah.
because Vancouver Pride has amongst the most restrictive entry
yeah.
To a parade. Famously, they blocked the Vancouver Library from attending.
And UBC.
And they blocked the University of British Columbia yeah. from attending. Because... They make you walk the walk. You can't just show up with a gay-colored logo and be like, we're gay-friendly. Vancouver Pride asks the question.
Yeah.
Prove it.
Prove it, yeah.
Yeah, essentially.
They double-check, yeah.
Yeah, you know, do you have equitable policies that, you know, so for your service users or your customers or your employees, are they protected and is diversity valued and so on and so forth? Do you have policies or public stances that run counter to supporting the community? And if you do, you're politely not invited.
I've actually looked at their restrictions, and the baseline is, do you have anti-discrimination policy?
Yeah.
So it's really amazing, because even though organizations like the Conservative Party and various religious organizations, they're not known for being supportive of the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. But all you need really to satisfy the baseline, because after that you get into competition, there's limited spaces and whoever is the best is going to get in. But to hit the baseline, all you have to have is non-discrimination. Basically, it's like, you know, we as the Conservatives hereby declare that if you come out as being gay or trans or lesbian or what have you, we're not going to fire you on the spot. That right there, that's enough policy for them to
that's
say.
That's not to say, I believe the Conservatives have that in
they
place.
They probably do, yeah.
And, you know, I also believe that, you know, the Conservatives are not discriminatory. Like, let's be frank here. The Federal Conservative Party,
they're kind of ambivalent. They just
on
don't.
On paper, is not discriminatory. Yeah. And I think it's important we establish that. But what Vancouver Pride would then look at is the public statements, not only of the political leader, such as waiting to see what happens with the conversion therapy, that raised eyebrows.
That's bizarre.
But also, you know, the public statements of various office holders and other people who may be attending.
Yeah. And whether or not they decried it. Because, like, you're always going to have somebody who says something idiotic. But if the party basically...
We have been doing this for 5 years.
Yeah.
I may have said an idiotic thing once.
If the party then steps up and says, that does not reflect... The party.
That's not us.
Yeah. Then that would count. That's fine.
But how do you manage that? Yeah. I mean, the Liberal Party manages to get through Vancouver Pride vetting, as does the Green Party and as does the NDP, because all three political leaders walked sort of shoulder to shoulder in the Pride parade.
As one group, yeah.
Yeah, as a single group.
Now, that said, because when I read this, I kind of rolled my eyes a bit. I do think the Conservatives should be putting in an effort to be there. But I don't necessarily think Trudeau has a leg to stand on when it comes to judging, because they've only been marching in the parades for like 2 years now, 3 years? Really not that long. It's like you're late. It's somebody who's late to the party, you know, complaining that somebody else was later to the party. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I'm glad that the various political parties are marching now, but, you know, judge not lest ye be judged. Why was it until only 2 years ago that you started marching?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's not just Trudeau, but
the
Prime Minister of the day. That's,
for Vancouver Pride to, you know, cast aspersions on the Conservatives, that's their job.
Actually,
I'm fine with
that. They had the best clapback I have seen. Like, I think when Vancouver Pride tweeted this out, I just pictured Pelosi with the clap back.
Okay.
And it was so one of the people running for office, I forget who exactly, but one of the people running for Conservative office in the Vancouver area officially announced that because of Vancouver Pride's positions are not allowing the library or UBC in, that he has absolutely no intention of going.
Yeah.
You're not... You know, you don't get my time. To which Vancouver Pride said, okay, next. So I think they quoted that song, Thank You, Next.
Thank You, Next?
Yeah.
I don't know
that
song.
He was so out of it. Yeah. Anyway.
Is it a...
It's a pop song.
Jonas Brothers?
No. Wow, you're really out of it.
You know, I discovered the Jonas Brothers existed the day they broke up. And
then
everybody was weeping
about
it. And
then I politely told you they've reformed and you were shook.
And so, who?
Anyway, but the idea, they said that, you know, the Conservative Party, the Federal Party already said they're not coming. Andrew Scheer has already said they're not coming. You know, why, like, this is not news to me. Like,
no.
Why, like, do we really need the press release for what we already know? Like, this is just political gamemanship, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm taking a stand. Well, guys, we got the memo 2 months ago when they confirmed their non-attendance.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Like, get back in line, guy. And that was essentially it. They're like, we're not going to participate in this faux outrage that you're pretending to have.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really quite well done.
What was the nature of him saying that? Was it just like a casual tweet or was it like a full press conference?
Well, I think it was a release and it was also tweeted.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's a release. We'll need to double check.
Because it's one of those things where, like, it depends on the scale as to whether or not it's ridiculous or not. If you just sort of casually, like, tweeted, well, I'm glad I'm not going, it's like, well, you know, fair enough.
Well, no, a point was made.
Okay, then that's bizarre.
And then Vancouver Pride's like, seriously, guy? Thank you, next. Like, move on. Like, what is this? And I thought that was great. But what do you think of the idea, just to wrap up the conversation, of... I think it may have organically sort of happened in Vancouver.
Right.
Getting them to march together. I personally think, and this is with an eye to the election, that this is the Greens, the NDP, and the Liberals putting the image out there, like the physical image out there of them cooperating with Trudeau marching slightly further in front. Because that's what happened. When you look at it, you saw the left... marching together in the Pride Parade. It doesn't get much more photogenic than that. Like, let's be honest.
The Liberals aren't the left.
Well, you know what I mean?
But corporate centritists.
But the Liberals, the Greens, you can fight me on that. But the Liberals, the Greens, and the NDP are kind of marching. I think...
The fact that the federal election is in 2 months definitely played into it. Absolutely. I would like to see the three of them march together again next year where there's nothing to win and they're just doing it because they believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd like to see.
So I think a part of the fact that they were all together may have been optics.
Yeah.
Like, we'll need to double check and
just
find out.
Just a little bit of gay cynicism there.
Yeah, that's not our job. And especially with the dig at the conservatives. I'm like, really, what are you trying to... It's we're othering. It's an us versus them.
Yeah.
You know, us lovely lefties versus you radical righties.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I think that may have been a dynamic that's been created.
We are the enlightened and you are not.
Where are you? Well, like, we know they're not going. This isn't news to anybody.
Where were you 4 years ago?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. But what I think here is... It does show an interesting way forward.
Yes.
For the parades.
Yes.
If they took the Amsterdam model by getting, you know, the mayor and the MP and the PM and the other acronyms to march in one group, then it saves a lot of space. It's like, oh, politicians, yay. Okay, moving on. Gay soccer club. Woo.
Well, they're different enough that I could see just saying, like, all the Liberals get together, the provincial and the federal. We don't care that on paper you're separate corporations, all right? The public sees you as being two branches of the same damn thing. So Liberal, all the Reds merge together. All the Greens merge together. All the Oranges merge together. And all the weird folk, because every province has its weird party, you know, like the nationalist pro-communist party of Brantford, which I actually think I got the name wrong, but I am talking about a real party. They are out there, and you get them to sort of scatter out there. but Canada, because we have been working on this politically for so long, there's not really that much of a distinction between most of the parties, except it's just we care or we're ambivalent. Because, like, there are individual conservative politicians who are anti this, that, or the other thing. You can name the politician. They're all slightly different. But as a platform, the conservatives kind of just don't care. They have...
Well, they're not waiting. It's not an election issue.
It's not an election issue for them,
They're not waiting. It's not a priority.
Yeah,
it's
they're all about, like, economics and industry and
trade. They're focusing on,
and,
you know, the industry, the
usual conservative
and,
stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And, the bread and butter topics.
And, you know, conversion therapy might be inhumane. What?
Going into a gay bar and having a pint. Like, are these...
Yeah.
Like, what priorities are there? I still think that getting all the politicians into one space...
I'm not against it.
I think Pride is maybe one of the only times when the communities can make that happen.
Yeah.
Like, how often can you dictate where a politician goes?
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, those opportunities are pretty finite. And I think it's a good idea.
It also saves Canadian... money, because imagine how much the taxpayer had to fund the security team that stood around them when they were marching.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just like, put them all into one group and you just get one ring of RCMP and in handsome suits and walking along, and then you save money that way. It's like carpooling, except...
We're going to get them to carpool the float. RCMP. Oh, wow. Politicians should carpool their floats. I love it. We're going to jump to a song. This is I'll Be Back Someday, the brand new track by Tegan and Sarah. They're going on a tour in support of the track. On
For like 2 months, you've been talking about new track, and then it just never came.
We just never go around to it. Yeah. Anyway, this is it. This is I'll Be Back Someday by Tegan and Sarah, and we'll be back just after this. Watch my TV set. What is on will make it better. We'll make it better. I wanna call and ask what's up. Go to dial, but then I stop. Why don't you call? To the end, my friend. Oh, what a lie. Oh, what a lie. If I could pretend, if I could lie, if I could lie. But I can't say. For our listeners who have been under a very large rock for the last 10 years, Grindr is a gay hookup app,
yes,
which is on your phone, and it uses your GPS position to tell you roughly how far away you are from other people who are on Grindr.
Yes.
It has a long history of being... It for a long time, was sort of... the awful cesspit of gay men.
Yes.
And I what I mean by that is the kinds of behaviors that were that were exhibited were often racist. No fats, no femmes, no Asians thing came out of that. They've been working to improve it. They, for a long time, there were no women allowed. Now women are allowed in there. Mm-hmm. Not that you see any. They've become more trans inclusive, and like they've been working to improve from this reputation they had for a long time.
If you want to see the worst of the worst, you got to go up to r/lolgrinder. which is a subreddit on Reddit completely dedicated to interjections on Grindr that are so ridiculous. They seem staged. Like, who talks like that? And it's LOL Grindr, and it is comedy gold, where it's, you know, where things are so egregiously bad you have to laugh.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is.
Yeah, they're awful.
Yeah.
So Grindr has this reputation. It also was it's often a used tool used by governments trying to track down homosexuals.
Yep.
It was used by Stephen Hopkins, the serial killer in the UK. It was used by Bruce MacArthur, the serial killer in Toronto.
No, he used Gay Romeo.
I think he used Grindr as well, didn't he?
No.
I thought he did.
No. Well, I know, it's alarming,
but it was also used by the serial killer in Australia.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's been used for strings of robberies and hit and runs in Russia. It was used a lot for gay bashings. So
blackmailing is a very blackmailing. Common one. Yeah.
I mean, also, it has connected a lot of gay men together. I met my partner on Grindr, and we've been together 5 years now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all bad news. But there is a lot of bad news, specifically around safety with Grindr. Now, according to the Medill police in Oklahoma, they released a list of 15 apps parents should know about. TikTok, WhatsApp, Snapchat.
Instagram is on there.
Instagram. Yeah. And it's the kind of apps that are very popular with the kids these days.
Yes.
And a part of me is like, is nobody on Facebook anymore? It's like, I'm just hanging out with me and my aunt.
No, it's for organizing events and for old people to connect to their grandchildren. That's
who go in to connect to their grandparents.
Well, if you talk to people who are like under the age of 21, because I've had to sit in on youth committee meetings before, and they're like, why would we use Facebook whenever anybody proposes? Oh, we use Instagram. And there have been times it's like, okay, guys, but this is text-based, and Instagram is not great at text, whereas Facebook is primarily text-based. But if nobody's on it, then whatever. Just, I don't know, do Twitter, I guess. But it's, I'm very anti-social media. I'm very skeptical. Mm. But this list, when I first saw it, I thought it was like, you know, beware, your child is on
Grindr. Well, the media coverage is, you know, police issue warnings of apps. And it's like, no. Let's be honest. What the police are saying here is that there's
certain apps. If you look up the original actual thing
that was released. Yeah, the infographic they released. There are certain apps which are very popular with kids.
Yeah.
And some of them we know have been used. I mean, let's be honest. For as long as there's been kids and those who prey on them, they have gone to where there are lots of kids. Schools, scouts, the church. It's, you know, they congregate where their potential victims are.
Where you can very easily interact with total strangers.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what we're seeing with these apps. They're very popular with young kids.
This, incidentally, is believed to be an extension of the uptick in the number of serial killers in America that happened in the 1960s, because people were moving from the countryside, where everybody lived in a small town where everybody knew everyone, to major cities where almost everyone you meet in daily life is a total stranger, so you can get away with a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're not saying that, you know, it's all about serial killing, but it's just when you interact with strangers, or if you're in a space where everyone is a stranger, really bizarre behavior always follows, every time.
Yeah, and let's be honest, these 15 apps aren't hotbeds of criminality.
No, not really, no.
But it's important to know that if your child has Grindr, for example, Grindr is predominantly older men. I think it actually has a service agreement of at least 16, I think it's 16 or 18.
I think it's
18. So if your child is under 18 and using Grindr, they're in breach of the service
condition. Well, I wouldn't say older men. I would say Grindr skews like 18 to 30. But it's still older than your 14-year-old.
Yeah, it's like 18 to 30, and then there's a weird gap, and then it's like 50 to 65, like, on there as well, all the chicken hawks. But, it's important to know, if you see this app, you know, this is what it is. And that's really what the infographic was saying. Now, why I'm mentioning this is because the BBC released a story in their tech section. And as with most stories, it immediately went viral and distorted and just is a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Pen Test Partners, the cybersecurity company, showed the BBC that there are security vulnerabilities with a number of apps, including Grindr. And it uses a system called trilateral, oh my God, I can never say this word. It's a...
Do you want me to read the science word?
You read the science word.
All right, show me the science word.
Oh, it's... Where is the...
You're going to cut all this out in post, aren't you?
No, I think it's trilateralization.
You should leave it in like post, I've got, just so people know what
I've
we're
got
like.
Too many L's in there. Like, I think that's what it is. No, I'm pretty sure it's
trilateral. It's probably trilateralization, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
But I keep thinking I'm saying too many L's. It's when they triangulate. I can say that word.
Yeah, there you go.
It's when they triangulate somebody based on where they are. So let's say I am on the Grindr, and I'm on the edge of a park, and it says Sebastian is 100 meters away.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I would do is, in the case of, you know, essentially what this program does is it draws a big circle around me that's about 100 meters diameter.
Yeah.
So you would be somewhere on the edge of this 100-meter circle.
Right.
And then what the software does that's able to interact, because Grindr hasn't locked it down, is create a fake second person,
mm-hmm.
sort of over on the left or off to the right somewhere, that also figures out, oh, you're actually 300 meters away from point B. So they draw a little circle around that point. That's about 300. And then they draw another one.
Yeah. And those circles will intersect in two points.
Yes. And you would be
pinpointed
at the intersection of these
circles,
these 3 points.
And then you do a third one, and that pinpoints which of the two first points is the point.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So that way you can triangulate exactly where you are. Mm-hmm. So what this software company found out was you can do this.
Yeah.
Which means you can pinpoint the exact location of a Grindr user. Furthermore, Grindr had it even not as secured as you'd like with their API, the thing that interacts with the
missions.
Mm-hmm. They were able to actually pinpoint the exact location of hundreds of accounts.
From what I understand, the way that it used to work that they supposedly fixed is that the app or the database, wherever it is in the world, would send you the accurate information. And then the client side, the app on your phone would fudge those numbers. Mm-hmm. It would randomly assign a plus minus. So it would be like, you know, plus 1%. So it would take 1% of the value, add on to that, and then it would shift the number off. And it was in the thing that it was, the numbers were fudged. So it was approximate that you had a general idea, more or less, that they were a 10-minute walk, but you could not necessarily pinpoint the exact location. That was what they claimed the original thing was, that the client side on your phone would fudge those numbers to prevent this data breach. But that, first of all, this implies that you're getting the accurate information originally. And if you can dismantle bypass that and get the original stuff in the first place. So they say, well, you know, we could just fudge the numbers on the client side, but they didn't. Basically, if you can get accurate information every time, there is no program that fuzzies those numbers, because you don't need to know that someone is exactly 513 meters away. You need to know that they are, you know, a 5-minute walk. That's really what the app is supposed to be telling you, not the exact location.
Yeah.
That's the point.
So the reason why this is important is, why would I possibly want to know exactly where someone is?
Yeah.
I could be a stalker.
Yeah.
I could be a serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
I could be
a jealous ex.
I could be a raging homophobe that wants to put the gays in their place.
Yeah.
I could be an authoritarian government which hasn't officially publicly announced it's illegal to be gay, but wouldn't mind rounding them up. Chechnya. Yeah. Sorry, I got a cough there.
And
but it's
if you're in the big city, a lot of this gets very complicated. But if you're in you know, a village population 900 people in northern Manitoba. Mm-hmm. You know, even if they do fudge the numbers, 800 meters, you're going to know it's that house or it's that house.
Yeah. But what this, so that's the first, it's the personal safety risk.
Yeah.
For sure. And the fact that you could reveal all the homos in a town instantly.
Yeah.
Is ridiculous. And we've talked about this before, and Grindr, honestly, frankly, should do better. Mm. And you know what the weird thing is? I'm doing a lot of pen waving here.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing is that Grindr does better. It actually obfuscates the data in and out for countries where it's officially illegal to be gay.
Yeah.
So we talked last week about Tinder and another one, which now alert you if you're swiping left or right on the same gender, being like, heads up.
Yeah, you're...
It's illegal to be gay here.
Yeah.
You know, but Grindr actually obfuscates the data because it was being used to target people. But what they're saying here is, if you're in the UK or North America, you know, that's a you problem.
Yeah.
Like that's, you know, it's not illegal to be gay. So just move about a bit so they can't catch you, which I just think is, you know, ridiculous. That was a joke. They didn't actually suggest that you move about.
I mean, in one line of code, or three lines if you want to be clear, but
they
less
already
efficient.
Do it. That's yeah. The ridiculous part here.
Yeah, fudging those numbers, like putting just a plus minus random, mm-hmm. You could even do a random value generator, like somewhere between 0.1 and 0.9% plus or minus blah, blah, blah. Like there's anyone who does any programming, like an intro level to Java, you
yeah.
could learn how to write a single line of code
so,
that fudges all numbers. Not client side, the other one. I just said server side. There you go.
So Raycon and Romeo, which are two other gay dating apps, very popular in the UK, not particularly popular here in North America. They did the same test. They also failed the test. You mm-hmm. could also track them down. The security company informed Grindr, informed Raycon, informed Romeo, FYI, guys, we can triangulate the exact location. We're talking to within a foot of where people are. Like
triangulate?
Yeah.
Not trilateralize?
Oh, you know, whatever.
Or obfuscate?
Shush. There's a lot of long words in this. I feel like I'm going to win a spelling bee. But, you know, they were able to triangulate. And then these other two companies were like, oh my God, Umiguru, that's the worst. Let's change it. Let's fix it. And they did.
Okay.
And the company tested it afterwards and they couldn't get the same day. But Grindr seems to have shrugged it off. We're going to jump to another song. This is from the Montreal-based artist Police. It is the song Party from the album Aesthetic. We actually pulled this off of our Earshot digital distribution system.
That you forgot existed.
I did forget existed, that even you, though I've that, been at the meetings that built it.
And like, you built it, yeah.
Yeah, which is crazy. It's a way of Canadian musicians to share music with campus and community radio yeah. stations.
So, if you are a Canadian musician or know a Canadian musician,
it's currently free. You can
yeah.
get it all up there.
Make sure
there's about 30 or 40 stations using it.
Make sure that you yourself or your loved one or friend
yeah.
or whomever
well,
promotes
we
themselves.
Well, we found.
You should probably say it again because you said it pretty quickly. What's the
yeah.
thing called?
Earshot. I think earshot-distro.ca will take you to the
okay.
website. And we found Police because we actually did a, there's a filter, QueerCon.
Okay.
So you've heard of CanCon, Canadian yeah. content. You know, we allow on this distribution system, people can identify as being mostly female,
yeah.
mostly queer, mostly Albertans, whatever. And what that means is if you are a show that's all about having women songwriters, you can find them nice and easy. If you
yeah.
show all about Alberta folk music, you can find it super easy. We looked for people who identified as LGBT because we're an LGBT show. Kind of makes sense. And we found Police, and this is Party, and we'll be back just after this.
I want to dance like my legs have no weight. Feel my hands on my face. The smoke was so thick, I couldn't see your face. Only felt everyone's disgrace. Who are they? Who are they? the smoke was getting to me.
Welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My last story of the day is about gay families.
What about me? Didn't give me time to say an
Who
Sebastian.
Are you?
And I'm Sebastian.
Okay, hello Sebastian. I'm sorry I was steaming so far ahead there.
Yeah.
So, interesting story came out of China. There's no gay marriage, obviously. I say, maybe it's not that obvious, but it is something that people are pushing for access to gay
Historically,
rights.
Historically, there was.
This is true.
They had a separate name for two women marrying each other, and there's a reason for it, but I don't remember. Yeah.
So in mainland China right now, there's no gay marriage. I think there is in Taiwan. I think we talked about that a few months ago.
You should call it same-sex marriage, because they may not identify as gay.
That's true.
That's very colonialist of you.
It actually literally is.
Yeah.
Funny story, quick sidebar. In Iran, the prime minister of Iran said there were no gays, and he meant like people who identify as gay.
Yeah.
Which is different from people who have.
Same. I love that story because then he was like, "Yeah, we have dudes who have sex with dudes. Yeah, we got that. We just don't have any gay men. There's a difference.
You know, the San Francisco feel of
not
gay
a lot
men.
Of people wearing harnesses and listening to Cher in Iran, is what he was saying. Yeah.
Anyway, but the story here in China is that they changed the law in 2017 to allow adults to make other adults their legal guardians.
Yes.
So think in this case, it was originally, before they changed the law, people who were mentally unstable and over 60. So you're over 60.
Yeah.
That way, if you have a legal guardian and you become incapacitated, they can make medical decisions and they stand to inherit.
It's stuff like if you are unmarried, you can get your brother to take care of you, even though your parents are dead and you're not married. So yeah. now
your brother can inherit whatever you have.
Yeah,
exactly. And what they're finding in China is actually a lot of gay couples are just making each other guardians.
Yeah, they're
Then if they get ill, their loved one can actually make medical decisions. If they pass for whatever reason, in this the euphemistic euphemistic for die, then their loved one would be able to inherit. So it's kind of a workaround, and that actually is how gay rights in the West worked. In Canada, it's like there was an equal mix of gay marriage laws, gay equality laws and court cases. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is like, wait, they get a pension and they don't get a pension? That doesn't make sense.
A better analog would be a story that we did from Japan a couple years ago where they discovered that there's an old law where adults could adopt each other as their children. Mm-hmm. And it was pushed onto the books by, not billeters, what are they called? What are the thing where you're politically active and you try to convince the government to do a thing? What's that thing called? They have a problem with them in the States.
Lobbyists,
that's it. So the Yakuza had lobbyists to pressure the government to allow adults to adopt each other. And ostensibly it was for the same thing. Like if you're an unmarried adult, then you can have your neighbor, your best friend, you can have your brother, something, whatever, to inherit, make decisions on your behalf and all that. But the reason why the Yakuza lobbyists pushed that in there was so that Yakuza dons could have whoever was next in line inherit everything from them as if they were a child. Mm. And same-sex couples were adopting each other using these Yakuza laws as a substitute for marriage, because these laws covered all the bases of a marriage except for tax breaks. So you could inherit, you could do hospital visitations, you could, like, all the same things that come in place except for the tax breaks. Came in because people in Japan were doing these like Yakuza adult adoptions of one another.
And we're starting to see that in China.
Yeah.
They're becoming each other's legal guardians.
Yeah.
And I think in the Western world, there was a fight for hospital visitations. I think in the AIDS epidemic, that really was front and center.
Yeah.
And then we saw equal access to these various privileges that are restricted to heterosexual couples.
I actually remember covering this when I was on CFMU in Hamilton Queer Radio Hamilton. For those of you who don't know, I've been doing gay radio for a very long time. This was like 2002, so I have been at this for literally longer than probably some of our listeners have been alive, and I just feel old all of a sudden. One of the things we were talking about at that time was the push for same-sex marriage, because if we got same-sex marriage, we didn't have to fight all these other fights, because the moment same-sex marriage happens, a whole bunch of other rights just fall into place. Because
when you get married, it's surprising the legal implications in that.
Everything else just like bam, like adoption rights, inheritance rights, land sharing rights, deed ownership, like a whole bunch of stuff just fell into place the moment same-sex marriage came in.
But in the run-up to it, it is often a step-by-step approach. Now, in the UK, they recently introduced gay marriage, same-sex marriage, sorry.
That was just Ireland. I thought UK had it for a while.
No, it's recently. Okay. Like a couple of years ago, the UK introduced same-sex marriage.
Fancy that.
Maybe 5 years now, 5 or 7 years.
I thought it was longer.
Anyway, the point is, the Office of National Statistics, the British version of Stats Canada, has released a report that said the number of gay families, so two same-sex adults plus child, has increased by 52%. Massive. It's like over another, I think it's like 100,000 more gay families than there were 5 or 10 years ago. I think it was 5 years.
Well, I mean, how long have they been counting?
Well, the point here is they've been counting for a while.
Yeah.
But what they put this down to is more gay adult couples feeling comfortable to adopt, foster, and create babies in other ways.
Okay.
More families being willing to admit to the government that they're two same-sex parents.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet that that's a large
and
chunk
then sort of
it.
The combination of the two has led to this astronomical jump in the number of gay sex families. But what they also found, which
you just said gay sex families,
gay same-sex families. Sorry. Number of same-sex men. But what was really interesting is that the number of civil partnered or sort of common law straight couples has skyrocketed and the number of straight marriages have gone down.
Hmm.
So it's like straight people are also making use of these cohabitation agreements.
Yeah.
That I don't know how else to call it, but you know, those options available. So they've gone up, less straight people getting married, there's like way more gay families and just sort of
fewer straight people getting married.
There's like just what it means to be a family is changing, not only in Canada very slowly, but also in the UK and China and all over the world.
That's standard. Whenever there's a major overhaul to technology, like if you look over the, you know, the grand arc of history, anytime there's a major change in the nature of technology, there's always a major change in the nature of what it means to be a family. So things like, you know, when farming was invented, we went from clans to farms, and then Industrial Revolution, it went from like extended families of like, you know, four generations living in a house. Now people living in their own place, you normally just get two generations living in a place. I mean, like anytime there's a major technological change, the nature of the family changes with it. Also, so do gender roles. Mm. Like sewing used to be a masculine thing and knitting used to be exclusively male. So there's a whole bunch of, like, and it depends on where you are in history.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's weird. I recommend everyone just read more. It's a
narrative moving forward.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Speaking of moving forward, we have run out of time. And we're jumping to the last song. Oh,
you and your segues.
I know.
At least that one was not migraine-inducing.
So we're playing Vic Horvath from, I think, Victoria, BC, mm-hmm. at the very least. This is Tell All Your Friends. I believe it's a single by Vic Horvath, which we also found on Earshot Digital Distribution, earshot-distro.ca.
Sign up your friends.
Absolutely. If you're a musician and want to let us know about your great music, and that's all we've got time for. I've been Luke Smith.
And I have been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
I'm like an algorithm in your heart, tearing you apart. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, in the unforeseen. You call statue through the lens of you, the world views. Light a firework for you. I built this house to hold and guide you. And tell all your friends. You sacrificed your own.